Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 7, Number 5. Last month, I began a three-part series on whey protein isolate. I focused on the whey peptide microfractions of whey, which really are what whey protein is all about. The most significant healing and performance-enhancing properties of whey protein are associated with peptide and amino acid chemistry. So in terms of product and brand significance, first, when you're looking at a product and you're holding it in your hand, you got to be thinking, which peptides are present? The peptides, the microfraction peptides from the whey. Second, how much of what peptide is present? And third, based on the extraction and filtering process, are the peptides listed on the label bioactive? They might be listed, but they may not be bioactive. And bioactivity relates to absorption and function, including nitrogen retention. So let's continue now with reviewing the data that's available on whey protein isolate, the last and certainly not least member of the Big Four. Competition in the health food industry for shelf space can be fierce, so instead of advancing the value and quality of their own products, some competitors attack the value and quality of other name brand whey proteins that are distributed by their competitors. And this is so fierce and so common that I call this battle between competitors the whey wars. First, they might challenge the price of the competitor's product. And when you challenge the price, make sure that the challenge is based on a gram-to-gram basis. When you hold two containers in your hand, say one is more expensive than the other or less, you've got to make sure that the weight that is displayed on the front is the same. So many of these products are measured in grams or pounds. 2 pounds is obviously going to be less than 2.2 pounds. So in Canada, you've got 1,000 grams as a kilogram. A lot of the bottles are only 9, 10, or less in terms of gram. Another one might be filled with a kilogram. So we've got to make sure that you're comparing apples to apples. Another form of comparison relates to percentage of protein per serving. To determine the percentage of protein per serving in any whey protein that you do buy, divide the serving size in grams, and you'll see that listed on the nutrition facts label. Divide the serving size into the number of grams of protein provided by each serving. In other words, take the larger number and divide that into the smaller, and then multiply 100. So when comparing price, always compare percentage of protein and method of extraction. Now, if we take a typical can of protein, I just bought one here in California, and I'll use it as an example. And it says on the ingredient panel, microfiltered, ion-exchanged, whey protein isolate, chocolate flavor, guar gum, and sucralose. And that's it. And it costs $49.95, and it's about 910 grams. It says that one level scoop has 28 grams of weight, and in that serving, there are 22 grams of protein, 0.5 grams of fat, and a couple of grams of carbohydrate. Then it's got an amino acid profile listed on the side. This particular product doesn't have any of the peptide microfractions listed. I'd like to see them listed, things like glycomacropeptide or bovine serum albumin. I'd like to see how much of what is in the product. But anyway, in this example, you take the serving size, which is 28, divided into the protein quantity per serving, which is 22. So you divide 28 into 22, multiply by 100, and what you get is 78.57 or 79. So this particular whey is 79% protein. Now, in its purest form, it may have started out as a whey protein isolate because that's what it says on the label, and we know that an isolate is 90% protein. But when you add flavors and sweeteners and thickening agents such as the guar gum, the final protein percentage of the whole powder mix is reduced. It's less than just using pure whey. And if you put pure whey in the bottle, it would be 90%, but hardly anyone would eat it because it would be so bitter. So that's why they add these sweetening agents, and they'll mix guar gum to make it thicker in the shake. Some people, most people, in fact, like a thicker shake, not a watery shake. So the end product in this example is 79% protein, which if you compare it to food is still extremely high. It's incredibly high, as a matter of fact. For example, let's compare this whey isolate to a piece of organic turkey breast on the basis of weight gram to gram. Now, if you take 100 grams of turkey and 100 grams of the whey, the caloric value in the turkey is 149, in the whey it's 358. So weight per weight, you got a different calorie expression. The protein in 100 grams of whey is 79, because it's 79%, and in turkey it's 30 grams. So 100 grams of turkey, you get 30 grams of protein. 100 grams of the whey, you get 79 grams. In the turkey, you get 3.2 grams of fat. You get 2 grams of fat in the whey, so it's lower than turkey breast. And carbs, you have more in the whey isolate. There's going to be some lactose in that isolate. So in 100 grams in this particular product, there's 9 grams of lactose. That's your carbohydrate yield. There's zero carbs in the turkey, and that's the advantage of the actual tissue protein. The cost, well, the serving 100 grams is $5 for the whey isolate. For the same weight of turkey breast would be $1.50. But when you calculate the cost per gram based on the protein yield, it works out to about 5 cents, the same for each. So the cost is the same, but the amount of protein obviously is much higher in the whey protein isolate. And here's the other big difference. The biological value would be no less than 120, say, to up to 150 for the whey, whereas the turkey would be down in the low 80s. So the biological value relates to the nitrogen retained, and so that's going to be significant as a difference. The whey protein isolate wins hands down. And, of course, the cost of this product you simply determine by multiplying the retail cost. In this case, it's a kilogram. It's $49.95. You multiply that by 100, divide by the weight of the container, and it comes out to about $5 per 100 grams. You can calculate it in that same way. Any protein you can see or any protein product that you buy, you can calculate the cost. So competitors now, going back to the whey wars concept, they might attack or compare the amino acid content of different products, such as the percentage of branched chain amino acids or the amount of glutamine, alanine, and cysteine. And they might claim that their product has a higher protein digestibility corrected amino acid score or a superior protein efficiency ratio or a higher biological value. But the only way to verify this is through actual research on animals or humans using their product, not someone else's product. You've got to use their product in its exact form in a study, and none of them will be able to give you this information. They can't demonstrate evidence. So sometimes companies make claims, and they're borrowed studies. They take concepts and evidence out of context and relate it to their product, which in some cases you can do by inference, and many cases you cannot do. So we have to watch that. And then another level of battle is the peptide microfraction content. And this relates to the individual peptide presence or percentage of the peptides that are supposedly present in the mix. And, of course, you've got the bioavailability of these peptides based on the extraction method utilized. And one company will tell you that their particular peptide is absorbed better than the others. So remember that the presence of a certain peptide does not necessarily verify its biological activity, as solvents, high heat, and or inappropriate pH can damage the peptide. For example, cooking a steak diminishes or completely deactivates the potential and activity of enzymes naturally present in their raw form, depending upon the degree of temperature and length of cooking. The enzymes are still present when the steak is consumed, but they provide no enzymatic value if they've been destroyed by heat. So another cause of debate with protein and whey in particular is the concept of mixing other proteins with the pure whey protein isolate. Tracy and I like to use a straight isolate, no concentrate, no casein, no egg albumin, no soy. And the reason being is because I believe that all these other sources of protein are inferior to the whey isolate. And different companies will tell you that the egg albumin or the soy will bring in different profiles. But the problem is that most of these cheaper proteins are denatured by heat. They're damaged by heat or chemical extraction, and or they're high in lactose. And what they do is they kind of lead you to believe that a mix of proteins is superior, and I just simply don't agree with that. So I choose not to use the mixes and go for the single whey isolate, which in my understanding is superior. Now, there are exceptions in some proteins that are not negatively affected by processing, such as casein or soy extracted by using cold water extraction methods and cold air filtration or centrifuge. So you can find out whether or not the protein was heat damaged or extracted using solvents and or superior methods which preserve the amino acid integrity. Casein phosphopeptides, they are known to increase the intestinal solubility of calcium and zinc. Caseomorphins derived from casein influence intestinal motility and stimulate the synthesis of some anabolic hormones. Casein absorption from the intestinal lumen is slower than whey, so if you get a good quality casein from the curd and it's not heat damaged, and what I'm saying is that most of it is, most of it's denatured, and unless the bottle and the company's telling you that it isn't, then I guarantee you that it's been heat damaged and denatured. Soy protein, which often is denatured, but in some cases it's not, can provide a good ratio of arginine to lysine. And the isoflavones of soy, including genistein, glycine, and diazine, they're known to provide several benefits, including improved metabolism of testosterone and prevention of osteoporosis. So you can add proteins to bump up certain amino acids like phenylalanine or alanine, but when you compare other proteins to whey, you know, whey protein is, it's got a higher quality protein value. It's digested and absorbed faster. It has a synthesis potential that relates to DNA expression that's great. There is very significant effects on the immune system. It's a great antioxidant. It poses less of a threat as a brain allergen. And compared to all other proteins, whey protein isolate appears to have more favorable effects on body composition, strength, and exercise performance. Now, when you compare whey protein isolate to commercial meat, not wild game, but commercial meat, and solid tissue proteins, here's the advantage compared to what most people eat for protein. Whey protein is easier to digest and lower in fat. It's more economical. It poses no risk of contamination like with E. coli, salmonella, parasites, pathogens, antibiotic residues, prions, pesticides, dioxin, DDT, things like that. None of that's present in your good product with the whey protein isolate. It's also extracted without heat, so that means when you cook your flesh, you're damaging and denaturing, and none of that goes on. So none of the, you know, disulfide bonds between the acids, the amino acids, have been ruptured. There's no cross-links formed. Whey protein has an alkaline pH, so cooked animal flesh acidifies the blood. So unless you're eating sashimi and raw meat, then you're getting cooked meat, which is acidifying to the blood. Whey protein isolate contains no mutagenic compounds that are formed when you overheat and cook flesh. things like luncheon meats or trans fats present in them, or rancid fats that are often hidden by colors and synthetic agents in the food. Of course, the biological value of whey is higher than any other protein you can think of. In a protein shake, it's less time-consuming, it's easy to prepare, and so you can get into like really quick absorption and get it into the blood when that window of opportunity is wide open. It's immune-enhancing, gut-healing, and there are peptides that outperform cooked animal protein or soy hands down every time, and these dietripeptides come into whey, not present in animal protein. They're absorbed better, they've got better nitrogen retention properties, so it's great for post-work athletic application for recovery, replenishment value, and the effects on insulin and insulin growth factor 1, which is critical for muscle growth and improving muscle function. So let's just finish off now with some methods of extraction. We'll talk about those. One of the most common is cross-flow membrane ultrafiltration and advanced microfiltration. After liquid whey has been pasteurized, clarified, and processed through reverse osmosis, it is dried and desalted. Next, it is ultrafiltered to separate the whey protein and fat from the lactose and minerals. Continued ultrafiltration leads to the formation of a whey protein concentrate. After the whey is concentrated, the whey peptides are further isolated using advanced microfiltration, which involves the use of ceramic filters to remove most of the remaining fat and lactose. A whey solution retentate is passed through a ceramic membrane with large pores, removing the milk fat and any microorganisms. Additional filtration utilizing cold air pressure and filtered water to wash away any impurities and lactose further increases the protein concentration. This ultimately results in the formation of a whey protein isolate, which contains no less than 90 grams of protein per 100 grams of whey. And then another method of extraction is called ion exchange. Ion separation techniques are utilized in many industries for the purpose of purifying and concentrating raw materials for commercial production, such as resins and mineral silicates, or in the softening of water. The ion exchange process for purifying dairy whey was first developed during the 1970s in Wales, England. During the ion exchange process, whey is fed into a stirred bed reactor tank system, which generates a controlled electrical field. Proteins are separated on the basis of their electrical charge. By controlling the electrical charge on the proteins using chemical reagents, the positively charged whey proteins become attached to negatively charged resin beads inside the reactor. The fat, lactose, and minerals separate naturally and are removed, creating an isolated protein which is then spray-dried into a powder. The whey protein microfractions in ion-exchanged whey are in a different ratio than the microfractions found in other whey protein isolates processed by different methods. For example, the GMP or the glycomacropeptide percentage in an ion-exchanged whey protein is much lower or may not be present compared to a whey protein filtered by cross-flow ultrafiltration. Now, something else that comes to mind are the hydrolysates, and these are substances, they consist of small, short-chain, low molecular weight proteins, these hydrolysates, derived from longer-chain, higher molecular weight whey proteins. Enzymatic hydrolysis ensures well-defined peptide profiles when these things are processed, optimum proportions of di- and tripeptides, and selected amino acids identified with effective absorption and utilization. The hydrolysates contained in most high-quality whey protein isolates, if it's been exposed to this process, are produced using a special food-grade enzyme mixture consisting of protease, trypsin, and chymotrypsin. Whole whey proteins are degraded or hydrolyzed to proteoses, then to peptones, small peptides, and finally to amino acids. Temperature, pH, and time of hydrolysis are carefully controlled to optimize taste, solubility, and the AN-TN ratio of hydrolysates. The AN is the amount of amino nitrogen present in the hydrolysate relative to the TN, or total nitrogen, present in the original whole protein. So if you have a product that's got too many hydrolysates, it's going to be very, very bitter. So what I've learned about whey formulation is that you can create something that is ideal but not necessarily palatable. So this is the balancing act of formulation and with taste. It might be awesome, but then nobody could, you know, swallow it because it would be so bitter. And this is when you get into the issue of sweetening agents. Should it be sucralose or aspartame or Ace-K or stevia or xylitol and a whole series of different blends of sweetening agents, plus the guar gum, thickening agents. It just goes on and on. It's very interesting. But anyway, enzyme hydrolysis is strongly preferred over acid or alkaline treatment, as these latter methods can destroy the beneficial L-form amino acids and produce toxic D-form amino acids. And finally, looking at transport, whey peptides consisting of two or three amino acids joined together are called di- and tripeptides. These peptides are absorbed faster from the intestine than intact whole proteins or free-form amino acids, and they are retained better. This is why whey protein is excellent for grandpa and grandma, for small kids, for people with digestive limitation. There's a special transport system in the gut that is biologically ideal for their uptake, and this is what the nitrogen deposition of whey protein and its strength is all about to meet the demands of tissue repair and new growth. These smaller peptides, they're ideal for replenishing the body after physical activity, which causes changes in enzyme and hormonal patterns created in response to nutrient depletion and tissue trauma. So you traumatize the body, you set it up for repletion. The key is to get that post-workout shake in, and an individual's capacity to receive protein and carbohydrate is higher and the highest immediately after training, exercise, or sport. This period lasts up to about 2 hours after training or post-exercise and is referred to as the athlete's window of opportunity. Remember, up to 25% of one's total daily protein requirement may be consumed and utilized at this time. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Next month, we'll complete our review of whey protein isolate with more info on what whey peptides actually do inside the body when they're consumed at the right time in the right amount. Until then, thanks for listening. And here's a quote from football coach Dennis Green, who coached the Minnesota Vikings. "The secret to success is to start from scratch and keep on scratching."